We are on. So first, I guess what I'd like you to do is just introduce your artist name, because honestly, I actually, if you haven't noticed, I haven't said your artist name at all because I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah. So definitely just say it into the mic.
Yeah, my artist name is Nell. I go by Nell.
Nell, okay. Yeah. Bro, I've been pronouncing it Nexel.
Yeah, no, I get that a lot. I almost like did that purposely just so it could be almost like a conversation starter. Like, how do you pronounce that? It's Nell. Because my name is Cornell.
Okay.
So I kind of just kept as Nell. A lot of people call me Nell. So I was like, I'm going to say Nell, but I want to look a little more cool, guys. So I'm just take off this E. I'm going to put an X in. Bow. It's Nell.
Yeah. No, I think that looks really, I like it because it reminds me, I think the way how it's spelled, it reminds me of the Greek kind of goddess Nyx, who is basically like the goddess of like darkness in the underworld. Okay. And it's spelled NYX. And so like, it's obviously it's not the same pronunciation, but like the words, it's spelled very similar phonically to your artist Nell. So your artist acronym. So I think that's like really cool.
Yeah, appreciate it.
For sure. No, absolutely. What are your pronouns?
She, him.
He, him? Okay, perfect. And then some, I go by Nina, pronouns, she, her, or they, them. It doesn't really matter for me. Favorite show that you are currently watching?
Oh, man. So, favorite show that actually, it's the Wu-Tang Clan, kind of like documentary type thing on Hulu.
Yeah.
I was watching the first season before, and I hadn't gotten to, like, the second season, but I recently started watching the second season. I'm like, damn, this shit has me hooked on so many levels. Like,
and that's, wait, is that the theatrical one? So the one that's like with the actors, not
yeah,
like the
documentary? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's like with the actors and all that stuff. Like, I'm hooked. Just on like, one, it's just entertaining. It's so entertaining. But also, being a rapper myself, I'm just like, that's what they did, or like, you know, obviously it's a dramatization, but it's like,
yeah,
dang, that's what they did, or that's how they do that. Or I'm over here thinking of like different ways of how like they're dealing with like music business and how I can apply that to today's music industry. So, and just like the way that they're hustling and try like doing things, I'm like, damn, am I doing the same things? Like, they're hustling mad hard to like make this shit work. Like, am I doing the same thing? Like, all right, let me make sure that I'm trying to make things work. Just like, you know, they did everything, selling everything, not to give anything away for people who haven't watched it, but just like, I'm just like, dang, like, this is dope. Obviously, I'm a producer as well, so I'm just, like, watching stuff that, like, the RZA was doing on it. I'm like, yo, this is cool. Like, this is really cool.
Yeah, no, actually, I've been really debating to watch it. I fucking love watching TV series. I guess a show that's very similar to the theatrical Wu-Tang release is Atlanta, because I know it's also it's also about, like, inner-city artists trying to, like, make it big. And so, like, I know, I guess my hesitation when it first got released, I didn't want them to do me like they did with Atlanta, where it was, like, Hulu took a pause, or Gambino took a pause for, like, 5 years until he made season 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I could not handle that pain if that was gonna happen. If, like, because I know the theatrical release of Wu-Tang was gonna be bomb. Like, I knew that. I just didn't want to get, like, hooked on something and then not have, like, a other season for the next, like, 5-6 years.
Yeah, no, that's, like, that's definitely, like, one of those things. But, I mean, like, if you're thinking about watching, you should definitely watch it. I also really liked Atlanta. I haven't fully finished the newest season that's out.
No, me either.
But like, I'm really enjoying how he has this really entertaining show, but he's also giving like a very deep message if you're really like paying attention like to a lot of the stuff that's going on. It's like, oh, I see what he's doing right here. Like, people gotta pay attention to that.
Yeah. Know. No, I love show. Oh God, I can get into a whole analysis on Atlanta, but this isn't an analysis.
I can't do that because
then we're gonna be up here for 2 hours. No, actually, I kind of do. So I'm gonna say this for the audience: spoiler for the Wu-Tang show. Spoiler for the series. What about the Wu-Tang show? Like, what scene happened that you feel relates to your personal experience as an up-and-coming artist?
I would say it's a scene where they're trying to... They just made their first record as a group. And they're going to, like, all the radio stations. They're calling up the radio stations, trying to get their new single played. This is an all-hands-on-deck type thing.
Everybody's, and this is in New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in New York. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're going to, like, conventions and, like, literally just basically being down doors trying to, like, get their song some radio play and stuff like that. Mm. And I'm like, that's very similar to... everybody says that the...
Did you have an experience like that?
I wouldn't say I had an experience like that, but since a lot of people are comparing radio to how playlisting is today,
yeah,
that's kind of what I have to do in a digital sense.
Oh, shit. And what is that like, if you want to talk about that?
Man, it's creating a single and just email blasting, just email finding like the right people to send the music to, trying to get, not even get it played, but more so just like getting a bunch of no's from playlists, getting a bunch of yeses. There are always going to be these things that pop up like, oh, pay us X amount of dollars for this, that, and the third playlist we'll put you on. But, and they, you know, they'll of course claim that their streams are organic when it's really not. Like, you're getting a bunch of bots and things of that nature. So it's like, yeah, no, it's really, hey, it's the music industry. It's things are scammy. Like, if anybody can scam you, they're going to scam you.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like trying to wade through that, like, okay, who's real, who's authentic, who can I actually trust to actually not only get me on a playlist, but give me a high position on that playlist, but also make sure that that playlist is authentic. I am getting organic streams from that playlist. Because if you're not getting organic streams and it's just bots, I mean, it's just a number. You can do a lot with a number, but if it's just a number, then you're not really, you can't use that that demographic data that's coming from. It's dirty data. You can't do anything with that.
Or you probably don't get advertised as often if you're not on the top.
I mean, that too. If you're not at the top, if you get pulled on the playlist and you're all the way at the bottom of the playlist and the playlist has like 100 songs or something like that on it, then it's like, who's really going to listen to all the 100th song on the playlist? So it's like, that's, you just paid whatever to get in a trash position on the playlist. That's like, I guess in a radio sense, like, oh yeah, we'll put you on the station. They play you at like 3 a.m. or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So you're not getting a prime time slot. So that's kind of like the way that I think about in the comparison that I make between that scene in the Wu-Tang Clan and my own career.
Wow. No, yeah, that kind of blows my mind a little bit. Like, you basically explained it really well, how the music industry has just like changed in the best ways and the most insidious ways.
Yeah. Like, especially when it comes to making things digital, it makes it a lot easier. Like, anybody can
upload
be,
and stuff.
Exactly. Anybody can be an artist now, which is like the best thing.
Or a podcaster. Hello.
Or a podcaster. For sure. Anybody can be in the audio realm, and anybody can upload anything they want and get it to, and they have the opportunity to get it to millions of people. But it's like,
they're still
in the same sense, they're still gatekeeping, and they're still scammers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so it's like, you still have to wade through both of those, and a lot of times it makes it easier for the gatekeepers and scammers.
Yeah,
and things
in some
of
ways,
that nature.
Right.
So it's like, it can be tough, but you know what I'm saying? Once you've done it enough times, you know, like, okay, who can I trust, who can I not trust, who's you know, has a good reputation for this, who has a good reputation for that, and you kinda like understand things a lot better.
No, yeah. This actually, if we're going on the same trend line as what the Wu-Tang Clan back in the day was facing in the inner city of New York, I would assume they really love New York. And therefore, I ask you, what is one thing you love about Chicago?
Okay, one thing, I haven't been in Chicago for that long.
Really?
I've only been here since May.
Wow!
I've only been here since May. I'm from Prince George's County, Maryland. I'm from the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia, DC metro area. I'm from that area. Born and raised in Maryland. And pretty much I've been there my entire life. Aside from college, I went to college at Elon University in North Carolina.
Okay.
And aside from that, I've been in the DC metro area my entire life, so I was like, yo, it's getting really expensive here, and I need a change of pace. So I was like looking for like new places just to go to, and I was like, I was just trying to figure out like where to go. A lot of people go to Atlanta, But I feel like...
That's why I'm curious. Because, like, you were in, like, more of the South, like, East. Yeah. So it's, like... That's interesting how you came, like, all the way up here.
I chose Chicago because... I wanted to go to LA, but it's dummy expensive. I think DC is expensive. Far. It's pretty expensive. New York is also very expensive. So I was like, I could go to Atlanta, but I feel like though Atlanta has an amazing music scene, a lot of people pop off from there. I just feel like to a certain degree, if you're up and coming, it might be a little bit saturated to just move through the noise. Because a lot of people are trying to go there for that specific reason.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, where else can I go that's reasonably priced? You know, I can, you know.
Is Atlanta getting more expensive? I haven't even checked.
I haven't checked either, but I feel like it could be. I don't have any data on that, but I chose Chicago because it also has an amazing music scene. Not many people are like purposely trying to come here for music, or not to my knowledge. I don't see people like really like, oh, I gotta come here. Like, I'm moving to Chicago. Like, everybody said, no, I don't move there because it's, you know, because of whatever reason. And I'm like, nah, I'm gonna go there. Like,
there's a lot of opportunity. And you're, and as, so I was born and raised in the city.
Okay.
Yeah. I grew up in more of the Northwest side. So that is kind of like Wicker Park, Bucktown, Irving Park, and the Pulaski area. But I was born and raised here. And I can tell you that people outside of the city, or even outside of the Midwest, really don't realize that Chicago has a really big up-and-coming artist scene. We have, like, a huge slam poetry scene.
Yeah.
We have a huge... an up-and-coming theater scene. Like, I would argue we're almost there with New York in, like, a Broadway scene.
I didn't know the theater, like, scene here was so big until, like, huge. I was like, dang, like, there's a lot of, like, performing arts and, like...
Yes.
Theater stuff here. Like, I was like, dang, this... Like in comparison, like, DC obviously does... It has a large Black population.
Right.
And there's obviously a lot of, like, arts and things of that nature. But if you're thinking about, like, professional world-type things, it's more government-based.
Yeah. It's more political-based.
It's more political-based, exactly. So when I came here and I seen that it's a lot more open in terms of, like, the professional world, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, because if I'm just trying to find, like, some work in, like, the audio world, or if I'm trying to find some work in, like, artistry, or, you know, something like that for, like, serious people, it's, like, it's a little bit difficult to find outside of, like, government, but it's, like, here I see more, like, creative roles. That's from what I see, at least. More, like, creative roles as far as the professional world and things of that nature. So I'm like, oh, there's a little bit more opportunity here for me.
Yeah, no, I can support that claim even further. So back in, like, 2013, what used to be called Louder Than a Bomb, or LTAP, which was the largest, at the time, it's no longer a thing, but it was the largest, like, slam poetry competition for high schoolers in the nation. So there's that. And then there's just a lot of, again, like, a lot of, like, creative writers and creative artists for the past, like, 10 years have been coming through from Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, No Name. No Name is a great example of
that. Oh, yeah. I love her. I don't want
to toot my own horn, but, like, I've seen her perform at Young Chicago Authors, which used to be a creative writing space. Like, I saw her perform when she was, like, kind of performing her poetry, like, once or twice when I was volunteering at LTAB. And now she's, like, a huge thing. And so, no, especially in, like, the Black community, or, shit, I've even heard and I know and I can confirm that Chicago has been known as being, like, the Black Renaissance community. There's a huge history of art and performance art, specifically performance art in Chicago, and I've always been very excited about that. As far as music goes, because I do consider rappers, not just as artists, as musicians. I know there's a little bit of tension with that, but I personally. I mean, as a white passing person, maybe I shouldn't speak on this, but I personally think, like, y'all are artists. I think you guys are artists and musicians. I always, like, Because, like, rappers collaborate with, like, musicians all the fucking time.
So. I mean, I feel like rappers are musicians. We're poets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're just playing a beat to it, playing some music to it. If you strip the beat away, then you're just writing you poetry.
You have performance writing. It's and, just like, poetry. Yeah.
At that point. But it has, like, a hard beat to it or has, like, whatever sound to it to make it into whatever it is. So.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Working with kids, like, especially kids who are really into, like, rap, they're like, oh, it's an artist, not a musician. And I'm like, what? Like, that always confused me. But also interests me at the same time. But anyways, going back to, like, the artist scene, yeah, for sure. And I can even tell you that I think what I really love about Chicago, it's similar in New York in a sense where we have a lot of different music communities. So, like, for example, in Pilsen, which is more west side from here, more southwest side, that is where there's a lot of hardcore thrasher Mexicans. Like, there's a huge thrasher scene there. And then if you go, like, in Logan, like, not Logan, Humboldt Park, there's a huge, like, new age, like, Boricua scene or a new age, like, Puerto Rican music scene happening. And, like, of course, in the south side, again, like, that's where the Black Renaissance is happening. And it's still happening. So, no, like, I really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you for saying that. And, like, yeah, I feel like not a lot of people realize that. I think Chicago in the outside has a reputation of being, like, a very low-hum city for a long time. But, no, there's a lot happening here, which is why the rent prices are soaring. Companies are realizing that. Getting out there in social media. So, I'm just going to read most of these questions verbatim.
Sure.
You're really good at interacting with audiences through social media. I notice you have quite a bit of open versus slash rap battles slash rap duets with people online. That is super cool, but why though? Like, I just noticed that on your social media. I'm very curious because I've never seen that before.
I think that's like a good way to get people to know, like, hey, I'm a dope rapper, and you just give me a beat, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna tear it up. Like, I can make a song with, like, anybody. And this is a good way to just get my name and face out there. Like, TikTok is probably the biggest thing that I'm using right now.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people are seeing the most traction when it comes to their music and things of that nature. And where people are really gaining a lot of fans. TikTok's the biggest place to organically build a brand right now. So just being able to figure out creative ways to push my brand on TikTok is the best thing in order to just, like, get my name out there, get my music out there, get discovered. The biggest thing is discovery, and that's the best way to get discovered. That's the best way to get discovered. Like, people just mindlessly just continuously scrolling. They're people are looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
And all those people who are feverishly looking for the next thing are mainly on TikTok. So it's like, okay, let me move over to TikTok, figure out how I can interact with an audience on there and build an engaged fan base on TikTok. And that's the best way. Doing those, like, rap duets, like, find another artist that I think is really dope or has created something really dope, and then continue to branch off and create something new from that. Just another way to let people know that, hey, I'm a dope musician.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there, they may go and check out my music. They may go and see what else is next or see what else this guy has to offer, you know, from there. So that's like the biggest thing, like, I think of is just, like, connecting with a fan base, building a fan base, and just, like, having a place for people to go and consume my content.
You know what? I've been so stubborn to use TikTok as my own media platform for my podcast, but I think you just convinced me that
it's so good. It's so good because people, like I said, people are looking for stuff on TikTok. They're like, just there for, like, TikTok. And I felt the same way, honestly. Right, I was like,
this looks sketch.
Like, isn't that for, like, I thought it was people just doing, like, dances and, like, stuff on it before. Yeah, I thought it was just like, but I was just like, you know, I just downloaded it one day and I was like, oh, wait, this is kind of cool. Oh, what's going on here? And I was like, I look at the clock, like, oh, wait, I've been on here for hours? And I was like, oh, my gosh, yo. But then I was like, okay, I can definitely, like, figure out how to, like, build a brand and, like, create, like, engaging content so that because people want videos. Mm-hmm. People want videos, period. Like, people want to see videos, and, like, that's probably, like, the best way that people are consuming video content.
Right.
And then, like, obviously, Instagram Reels is also a thing, but, like, TikTok is, like, leading. They're leading in this, you know? So, it's, like, okay, it's, like, if you're building a brand, you're building anything, it's, like, you gotta have some type of presence on TikTok.
That is great information to know.
Yeah, and they gotta give me a sponsorship at that one.
I saw you trying to broadcast yourself, and you do really well. Like, I was entertained, and I'm like barely entertained by like TikTok, so you do great. Actually, like, I'm very curious. This isn't on my sheet, but I'm really curious. Like, it sounds like to me that TikTok was really effective for networking. So, like, how have you been building those relationships? Like, do you just, like, message them? Do you just, like, keep talking to them? Do you guys collaborate on, like, the next, like, big EP? Like, what does that look like?
In terms of just, like, keeping connections, if I do, like, a duet or, like, something like that with, like, somebody else, I'm kind of just like scrolling through like TikTok and just trying to see like if anybody created like a beat or like has a rap challenge that I like, and then I do it. You know, I make sure I tag the artists and things of that nature. If we like connect, then that's cool. If we don't, then that, you know, that's cool too. I mean, I feel like it's a good relationship for like both. They may have like a larger following than me, and like honestly, you're trying to get a little bit of that following as well to potentially follow you as well, because if they like that person's content, then there's a good chance that they'll also probably like your content as well. So it's kind of like feeding off of that, and also me doing that gives them more engagement on their posts. So it's kind of like mutually beneficial to both parties, you know. So if we continue to work on something, they sometimes might reach out, or they might like it or something like that. So I haven't really had a time where someone was like, oh yeah, let's work on this down the third. Okay. But you know, sometimes from me just posting that, another party may come and be like, hey, like, do you want to work on this down the third with me? Or hey, do you want to do, hey, I have this beat, or hey, I have this down the third. Sure. Do you want to try like this? Or, you know, and sometimes, you know, I might like it and we might try to do something.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it may not get released or something like that. So it really just depends on like, on what's going on, pretty much.
Okay. No, it sounds like it's working at your benefit. So I'm really happy for you. And now I know maybe I should step the fuck up. And speaking of songs, this is a great, since you were just talking about like the creative process, a lot of the common themes in your songs, like 10 and Stay Down, discuss finally reaching financial stability and making new money for yourself. It comes up a lot. So why does it come up in your music? And if so, how does your economic upbringing growing up impact your creative process? So you can just start with the first question. So why does it come up in your music? That idea of like financial stability or new money?
I guess the idea and that motif of like new money is kind of a reoccurring theme. I didn't grow up, not to say, I grew up middle class pretty much. I was in low class. I never really like.
Oh, good for you though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As a black man growing up middle class, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would say I definitely grew up. I was in like low class. I was in like poor or anything like that. To definitely like make that clear. I appreciate everything like my parents provided for me.
Yeah,
I
didn't shout like, out the parents.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely shout out mom and dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, they provided everything that I needed. There wasn't like a Christmas that we didn't have anything. There wasn't like a time where I was like, dang, like we gonna like eat something tonight. You know what I'm saying? Right. I didn't grow up even having to think about those things. Like it was already there for me. But one thing that I always think about, like, because there were things that my parents would, like, argue over, and I would see, like, a lot of arguments would spur over, like, financial things.
Okay, yeah.
And trying to, like, figure out how to pay for things, though, like, there are certain things that we didn't have to worry about. Like, I'm sure, like, my parents had to, at some degree, like, you know, figure out, like, financial things. And a lot of times that would break out into some large or some loud arguments and things, yeah, of that nature. And I just didn't want that to, like, be a part of something that, that if I have a spouse that I like, that we like argue a lot about. So, yeah. And I think one big thing that, that pushes me is like, I want to be that person in my family that becomes like the first, like, millionaire, the first, like, person that's able to, like, put the family on. I don't want, like, my mom or anybody in my family to have to worry about money or, like, financial problems or anything like that. I think that's a lot of things that, like, tear, like, Black families apart is money. Like, a lot of people get torn apart because of money.
How specifically, like, in the Black family, like, in the Black community? From your personal experience.
Like I said, I can't really talk too much about my own personal experience since we were pretty, I would say we were pretty much middle class. But, like, just off of, like, things that I've seen, like, sometimes it's, like, it's hard to get a job as a Black person. It's really, it can be difficult to get a job for whatever reason.
Right.
Due to lack of education, lack of resources in the community, lack of people just pointing people in the right direction in order to figure out how to not only just get a job, because anybody can get a job. You could be working at McDonald's or something like that, but will that money be able to, like, set you up
for
the long term? Can you, like, pay, like, off your debts with that? Can you provide a future with your kids for that? It's like, how can you get those higher level jobs and things of that nature? I feel like that's sometimes, like, difficult to do in the Black community for whatever reason.
Generational wealth for Black communities, it's another monster of itself.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I'm not the expert on, like, the wealth, the wage gap and things of that nature, but it's definitely, like,
no, it's fact.
It's definitely there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely there.
And as somebody who went to school to study sociology, you're absolutely right. It's there.
Yeah. So it's just, again, so trying to become that first generation millionaire in the family,
right,
that's able to help out either the next generation or, like, the people that are immediately around me, help them get out of debt, help them, like, do some things that they want to do and live, like, the life that they want to live. That's something that's, like, really big to me, and I feel like I have the ability to do that.
Oh my god, that, like, spoke so much to me as, like, as somebody who is, like, a first-gen American, and so, like, I grew up poor. I wouldn't say poor in this... We grew up, like, middle-income poor, and so it's the situation where you have food on the table, but, like, you still have to worry about, like, getting your next bag before your next paycheck. Like, it was still, like, that high risk, but I do empathize with you hardcore in a sense where, like, I'm striving to be that, like, in my family, where I'm striving to be the first middle class individual in my family. So I definitely, like, feel you and empathize with you about trying to, like, just break that chain of, like, I want to provide for my community and my family by, like, breaking that, like, cycle and hopefully becoming new money.
Exactly. And, like, another, I'm trying to think, what was I about to say? I forgot what I was about to say. I was mad about making a really good point, but I'm like, I think I forgot it. But
it'll come back later. If it comes back all of a sudden, then just interrupt me. It's fine. It's your interview. That's really great to know. So going back to sort of, like, a struggle which I feel like you have quite a bit of experience in, which is depression. Everybody loves depression. In your song Guidance, you make it clear that you are discussing the struggles of depression. You also mention the duality of living with depression as if you are double-sided. Can you explain that duality a little bit more?
It's funny. That line actually isn't about that.
Ooh, tell that me more.
That line is more so when I said, I forget the exact line, but when I'm saying I'm living two lives, I feel like I'm double-sided.
Mm-hmm.
That was more so in reference to I'm rapping, and I'm like, you know, trying to make it on that end.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I have to kind of live like a corporate lifestyle in order to fund that rap. So it's like, that's what I'm saying, like, in like the corporate world, like it's very neat, it's very proper,
very
and
white.
you know that type of thing.
Right.
But in the rap world, it's like a completely different universe, and it's like, because of my upbringing, I would say I've had the opportunity to be very educated,
mm-hmm.
but
to navigate through that world.
But I'm also being where I'm from and being like, I'm a black man, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm black, so it's like, yeah. And I'm in hip hop and things of that nature. So it's like, I need to know how to navigate the rap world, the hip hop world as well, which is more street. So I need to know how to navigate this corporate world.
Mm.
And then I need to know how to navigate this street world as well. So it's that's when I'm saying, like, I'm kind of living two lives. I'm like double sided. I think of like almost like,
kind of like the Wu-Tang Clan. That's exactly what they
that
did.
That too.
Yeah.
I like to use the reference of like Batman. Batman's
okay.
My favorite superhero. And it's like, you know, in the morning, you know, during daytime, he's Bruce Wayne. He's buttoned up, suit and tie, going to all these soirees and events,
yeah,
and things of that nature with all these rich people and stuff like that. But then at nighttime, it's like, okay, I gotta put this the mask on. I put the cape on, and I gotta go in the streets, and I gotta like fight crime and stuff like that. And he has to like navigate these two worlds and things of that nature. And it's like, that's kind of like how
that's
I think
cool.
of like, it's like okay, I gotta wake up, I gotta get this money at this whatever job I'm working. I gotta wake up, I gotta get this money, I gotta, you know, put on the corporate voice, I gotta like do all that shit just to make sure like that the bag gets secured. And then it's like, all right, cool. Like, when I get home,
yeah,
okay, I can take a deep breath. I can take off like all the, you know,
clothes. You're like, yes, I don't need a code switch.
Yeah,
nice.
It's like, yeah, basically, okay, I can take all that stuff off. Cool. Okay, let me get back to the music. Let me get back to like the real life that I'm actually like trying to live and stuff
yeah.
like that. So it's like, that's what that meaning behind that line is. It's more so I'm living two lives, like the corporate life and more of a like a almost like a street life type thing.
Okay, actually, no, wow, that blew my mind. That's awesome. But I guess I have two questions then, like two follow-up is that,
sure,
what advice can you give like artists who are hustling, like, because honestly, like, navigating that shit is super fucking hard. Even just navigating between the professional world and sort of the hustler world, talk and like vibe with like the right audience or picking your right audience. So like, what advice do you think you would give artists who struggle in that, who just struggle in identifying how to act in certain spaces to get by? What advice would you give them?
What advice would I give them? That's, I don't know, this is kind of tough. I mean, I don't know, sometimes you just gotta play the game per se. It's like, I don't like having to like put on a fake face all the time, like when I get up in the morning. But it's like, at the end of the day, I know that also I gotta fund this music stuff somehow.
Mm.
Like, so it's like, okay, like, if I'm making X amount of dollars, then it's like, I'll put on the act for them, you know what I'm saying? I'll do it for as long as I need to, you know, as long as I know that it's going to something that I'm actually trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll play that game, it's whatever, you know what I'm saying? Are they going to pay me how much money I want? Sure. Like, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting, as long as I'm getting what I need to get out of that situation, then it's like, because everybody gotta make money somehow, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, that's why I got, that's the hand I was dealt. Like,
yeah,
I'm educated, so I have a bachelor's degree. I got, you know, certificate. I can do that stuff. So that's the hand that I'm dealt with. So if I'm like looking for money, okay, let me see, let me check my hand. Let me see what cards I got. Mm. Okay, well, shit, I'm a young, educated black man. All right, well, let's get a job. Fuck it. I can get a good paying job, you know what I'm saying? As yeah. long as I know how to navigate that realm, and as long as I'm not doing something that's like putting my own integrity like in place. I think that's the biggest thing when in a corporate setting is like not jeopardizing your own integrity, because people will try you. People have definitely tried you. I've definitely had people like ask me the most wildest freaking questions, and I definitely quit on the spot because of those types of things. Because like people will say racist shit to you, there are microaggressions and like things of that nature. So it's like, okay, like if I'm gonna be in this realm, I gotta be on this in this realm on my own terms, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, like, you know, you gotta know when to put your foot down in those settings, because it's like, okay, like I'm doing this corporate stuff right now, but like, don't let's not get twisted. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, let's not sure. get twisted. You just gotta know how to play the game and know what cards you've been dealt with. And that's pretty much what I do.
Yeah. No, it's like me trying to find a job as a teacher. I'm grateful at where I work, but even just like in a non-artist position, I empathize with you in a sense where like, shit, I'm probably still going this myself in my personal life, but trying to find a place or space or a space of employment or professionalism that like, that you know how to navigate, but you don't like stomp down on your own core values. Like, that shit is, like, really hard to find. I think just in general. However, I can't... Even though you're saying wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things and wonderful wisdoms as well, I can't help but feel like this is all making you depressed. Because now, like, you just, like... It sounds... I mean, it's hard. It sounds super fucking hard. So, like... And you definitely say, like... Now that I understand what you meant by, like, double-sided/duality, like... Do you get, like, really anxious? Like, do you get really depressed? Just, like, doing all those, like, professional mental gymnastics. Like, I'm very curious about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Does it make you sad? I would say... I used to have, like, a lot of, like, the song that in question, like... I was... massively depressed. Yeah. I was massively depressed. Like during that time period in my life, I was dealing with a lot of depression issues, a lot of anxiety issues. I was just like mentally just going through. That's just like another thing. Like mental health isn't like a big talking point in the black community. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even know what was going on. I just knew that I was going through a lot and I just didn't know how to handle it and stuff right. like that.
Or you didn't, you probably didn't even
know. I didn't even know what happening. It was. I didn't know what it was. You know what I'm saying? Until I like, I didn't even know what started. I know J. Cole had dropped this album KOD and like, he had a lot of themes of just like talking about like mental health and stuff like that throughout that album. And he had this one song that was like talking about meditation and stuff like that. Meditation. That's what got me into like meditation to handle my anxiety and depression and things of that nature. So like that album really got me into meditation and just like knowing how to be at peace in my own head. You know, that's something that album's like huge for me for like J. Cole is also my favorite rapper.
Oh, absolutely.
But like that's like one thing that like really got me into that space.
Yeah.
Just learning about those types of things. But yeah, it's like I was massively depressed during that time. Massive amounts of anxiety. And I have less of it now just because I know how to control it a bit more. I know like what's going to trigger and set it off. But like I still deal with like anxiety problems, whether that be from like working in this, being around certain people, working around a certain type of setting or stuff like that. It's like, you know, I still have those issues. Not to that degree. I've kind of I'm kind of trying to move away from some of those topics because I'm not really, like, feeling that. I'll try to, like, produce something like that. And then
let me not be sad for two seconds.
Not even like that. It's just like, I'll start writing it and I'm like, I'm not feeling this.
Okay, that's fair.
I was like, I'm not sad. It's like,
or you don't feel inspired by that.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I don't feel inspired by it. And I'm like trying to write it. I'm just like, nah, it's not hitting like I used to. It's like when I think of like writing, I think of like there's like pools of energy that you're like pulling from in order to create whatever you're trying to create. And during that time, the like pool of energy that I was pulling from was very like that depression, anxiety, and that sadness.
Like, I was massive sad.
Yeah, like, it's just like it's just like I was just pulling from those, from that pool of energy. And at this point, like, that pool of energy is kind of like, it's not, I'm not feeling that right now. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's kind of tapped out. So I'm like, shit, like, how do I feel now? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, for a while, like maybe for the last few months, I was like, dang, like I'm trying to write some new stuff, but I can't like think of anything like to write. Mm-hmm. Until I like switched up like some of the beats that I was using. Some of my newer stuff, like it's not even out yet, has like a more of a different vibe to it. I'm still rapping hard, but it's like I just found a different like pool of energy to pull from, and like when I found it, it like clicked. I was like, oh, dang, I know how to write. I can write to this stuff now. It's like I got more material, so it's all about like which pool of energy like that you're pulling from and like and stuff like that. Because I haven't been able to make happy music or music that's like inspired in like a positive way, just because I haven't felt happy. I haven't felt any happiness.
Right.
Like, for the most part, that pool of energy has been so low that it's like,
yeah,
I can get maybe one bar, but like, you know, I can't create a full song from that. But it's like, since I moved to Chicago, it's like I've been able to pull from different types of energy. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing to say about the DMV. But when I was there, it's like, I just felt like stagnated just because I've been there for so long. It's like when you're in one place forever, it's just like you just get in a rut, you know? You just get in a rut, and it's like you got to get those different perspectives on life. You got to like see new things. You got to go new places.
Yeah, for sure.
I think of like I listen to a lot of interviews. Tyler the Creator will always say that, like, that's another one of my favorite artists. Tyler the Creator would be like, he figured out like different types of fashion and different types of like flows and different types of, he just, when he moved
like
to New York,
aesthetic.
Different types of aesthetic and stuff like that, when he made the decision to move to New York from like LA. LA's like really like, is really pretty, like there's a different type of aesthetic that, and you can tell like from like his music and stuff that's where he's from.
Right.
But like when you moved to New York, you got like another type of like aesthetic to like add to that.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And he like referenced that a few times. And like the same thing with someone like Kanye, you know, they're from Chicago, but then when they moved to like New York, or like when they got out of their comfort zone, it's like it just opened up another like door, another like pool of energy just opened up because they got a new perspective on life. And I feel like a lot of artists, when they like move out of their hometown and start living permanently somewhere else, it's like
it's an add-on to that.
It's like an add-on, exactly. It's like, oh dang, like what's this? Oh, I don't know anybody here. Like where do I go for this? Where do I go for that?
For
and
sure.
it's like a whole new type of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, actually, to support your claim even further, because I 1,000% agree, like, even with Kanye's older albums, like, Graduate, I noticed, like, his aesthetic was very Chicago, in a sense where, like, his bear mascot, that, like, I don't know if he, because Kanye's a little shady, like, he's a little sus, even though he makes, like, good music, he's a little sus, but, like, I think with his older albums, like, with his bear mascot, like, the way in which how it's drawn, like in College Dropout or when he, in the Graduate album, it's very similar to Chicago Graffiti. And
interesting.
It's really, really similar. Like, I can't think of...
I'm a massive, like, Kanye fan. Like, Kanye, like, J. Cole's my favorite, like, rapper. If we talking, like, rap, but if we talking just, like, everything else is Kanye to the max. Like, that's my favorite artist, and like just like the way he's so meticulous about like every like little part of the process is just like, it's like this so mind-blowingly interesting. Like, I probably watched every single interview by Kanye West, like, period. Like, this dude is like, he's a genius in that regard. Like,
yeah,
just like when it comes to like creating, it's like this dude's a genius in terms of that. But it's like, when I like got here, I was like, just like looking at like architecture and looking how things are and how people like vibe in this city, I'm like,
oh, it's very Kanye. Kanye mannerism.
I was like, yeah. I see where Kanye gets like a lot of the feeling from his music. I see where he gets a lot of like the feeling from it, because that's how I feel in this city. And now I listen to his music, I'm like, oh, I feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, and I was just going to add on to support your claim further, in spite of the person he is. I can give him that word. So what I really like about Chicago graffiti, and I'm not sure if it's true for everywhere because I don't know New York graffiti, I don't know LA graffiti, but what I love about Chicago graffiti, it's a style called New American. And what New American is, it's like the ones with the bright colors, objects that are like all up in your face, and it's like less bolder lines, but more just like poppy colors and stuff like that. Like, that is called like a New American style. And I think what I like about his like album artwork, for example, like his older album artwork, is that it's very New American, which supports your claim even further of like, yes, like his aesthetic, like outside of his lyrical process, like at the time is very reminiscent of like Chicago. And even like the concrete steps that in College Dropout that the bear is like sitting on, like the bear mascot is sitting on, and then in Graduate where the bear like is like blasting off on the Coliseum, like that, like I might be thinking of it too hard, because I don't believe Kanye thought that deeply about it. But, like...
So he might have. You never know. He might have.
Like, I don't know the dude, but, like, the Colosseums and the concrete, like, architecture is very, very Chicago. Because if you've, like... I assume you've explored the city, like... But you'll get to know this. The reason why, like, Batman got filmed here is because our buildings are really gothic. They're very, like, stone. It's very stonework. It's very gothic. It's very, like, old. 1900 style, and like that's like also reflective of some of the buildings in this album, so I think that's really interesting. Cool. Yeah, it's really cool. So like I do agree with you where it's like, oh yeah, like you do change your you definitely have your essence of like the place you grew up from in your music, and that doesn't even, I think it's more apparent in rap, but that's also apparent in like punk rock music. Okay. I'm a big S, like one of my like big expert is like punk rock music.
Uh-huh.
I know the difference between like East Coast punk, Washington punk, West Coast punk, and like Midwestern punk. Very like obsessed with that. So like I definitely empathize with you where I think it's across all like musical genres, me personally. Do you think you found that actually, since we're talking about what makes artists stand out, mm-hmm. and a part of that is their aesthetic, do you think you found what makes you stand out? Did you finally find the thing that's made you unique and you're like seeking to grow in it? Or are you still like trying to seek out like what's your like, aside from your name, Niall, being super unique, like what ways are you trying to grow as a musician essentially?
Yeah. So in ways that I think one thing that I'm really trying to do with anything, I think of music as like, when you're an independent artist, you have to think about like a lot of business things. So I have to be artistically minded, but I also have to be business minded at the same time. Mm. So I think of like music as very much a product. So if music is a product, you just created a product, you're an independent artist, you just have a small business, being an independent artist is like running a small business. You're providing a product. Your product is your music. So once you have a product, you can't just give somebody, like, say if you had a new phone, like, you can't just be like, hey, what's up? Like, I got a new phone. Here you go. People will be like, why would I use that for my iPhone?
Mm.
Why would I do that? So you have to, like, build, like, how can I say this? You have to put the right presentation around it.
Mm.
Around your product. So the image that goes around with it. I think one thing that I'm always working on is like the image, like how do I look?
Like your appearance, your presentation.
Exactly, the presentation, but also like how does a music video that I'm in, what's that look like on a consistent basis? Mm-hmm. What does that music video look like? What's the aesthetic? What's the background? How does that look? How does this person act? How does this person like vibe with the beats? This person dancing, this person not dancing, this person more stoic. It's like you're almost not even like creating a character, because obviously it's like what feels most natural to me.
Would you call it your brand or something different?
You can call it a brand. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a brand. But at the end of the day, it's also like there's a brand that you're trying to sell, of course, and there's like music that goes along with it. So it's like the music to like the brand, the brand and the aesthetics. So it's like
the what's music, inside the packaging.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you create the packaging is the brand. You just created that, and now like, okay, you got people interested.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay, like this looks cool. Now let's see what's inside. Okay, how does it work? How does it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like,
oh my God, you just unpackaged it. You're probably better than that, McGrady. Because like, okay, not to toot my own horn, I think my podcast is dope as fuck. It's just the presentation is trash. Like literally.
And I think that's something that builds over time. It's like you can't just come up with everything at once. It doesn't work like that. It's
unless you have professionals working for you.
That too, but even then, when like a lot of people, they'll just like have an idea and they'll get, just because they have money, they'll just like, okay, I'm just gonna hire all these people, and then like it has no soul to it.
That's because fair. And then it's people like, can tell. Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems very just like contrived, you know, mm-hmm. just and soulless. That's why a lot of that stuff flops. But it's like when you just like start off, when you just like have an idea and you just go for it.
Yeah.
Along the way, you're going to be like, you know what? I want to change this. I want to tweak that. I want to take that out. Let me upgrade this. Let me change that. And let me do that. It's like you're taking things out and it's like a trial and error. Okay, let me try this. Okay, that didn't work. I'm not going to do that again. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me try this. Okay, that worked. Okay, I'm gonna keep doing that. Now let me try to build on that. You know, that's how you build a brand. Yeah. And like the more you post like your journey, mm-hmm. the fans, they love to see the journey from, they don't like to see the person like you're already there. Like nobody wants to see, like they want to be along for the ride. They want to see like your triumphs, but they also want to hear about your defeats and how you overcame them. They want to hear all the struggles. That's what makes a super fan. That's what I'm a fan of. Like when I like see a new artist, I'm like, oh, this person has potential. I'm a follow them and keep like watching them. Okay, they just did that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, they just did their first show. Oh, they just did this. It's like they want to be along for people. People want to be along for the ride, you know? That's what makes a super fan. Like, you see these documentaries and people are like, oh, yeah, I was there at the first, this, that, and the other thing. Oh, I was there when he was doing this, that, and third. Oh, like, nobody was there. Like, oh, y'all are only fans of his, like, newest project. I've been here since, like, whatever album way back when like only a couple people were listening to. I'm like a real fan. Like that's what people like really champion. So when it's like you're building that brand, it's like it may start off a little bit janky or whatever, but then it's gonna start to just build and build and build until it's gonna be like something really official, you know? And that's what people love. That's what builds a super fan.
Bro, that makes me feel so happy, because my guy, I got made fun of for this, but like it's fine because I make fun of it now because I think it's hilarious. So my logo, Loose Lips Cast, it was literally made off of Google Slides.
It's okay. Like, it's okay.
No, I know it's okay. No, I'm just like laughing at it because he wasn't even being rude or anything. I think he was genuinely like endeared, but he was like, that shit's fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everybody comes from like humble beginnings. Like it starts somewhere. Like my first raps are garbage. Like they're so bad. I was sending them to my friend And she would just be like, nah, that's not it. Like, she'd just be like, yo, this is what you gotta change. This is what, just like, you gotta do a better flow right here. Like, it was just not that great. But yeah. Then I kept, like, improving it, improving right. it, improving it. And now when I send it to, like, my friend, she's like, yo, this is so fire. Like, it oh, is this fire. Is so yeah. dope. You know, so it's like, but that doesn't, I don't get to, yo, this is so fire without first starting off with, yo, this is garbage.
That's
you
true.
Don't get to fire oh, without first being garbage, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way.
No, yeah, absolutely. And like, and no, and I think like, you're right. Like, I think I'm saying this both as also trying to be a mixed media artist and also yeah. just as a person. Like, I'm happy you're saying like, no, have faith in your fans. Like, have faith in your fans that, like, they do have good taste and they do, like, see your journey. And yeah. maybe you get a super fan. And so, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I'm really happy you're calling that for this. Because, like, even... That's not only a reminder of me to me, but also, like, to any other artist who also is listening to this.
Yeah, no, for yeah. sure, for sure.
Yeah. No, like, I gotta give my... I'm sorry, fans. I'll give you guys more credit. Thank you to, like, the two people who are following me in Canada. Hey. So, yeah, no, I guess the best way we can end this is, like, what's next? Anything new happening?
I'm dropping a new single. What is it? September 2nd?
Mm-hmm.
I'm dropping a new single. That's, this title is Young and Black. So, definitely be on the lookout for that. It's going to be streaming on all streaming services. I'm trying to think of anything else. I'm always like looking for new opportunities just to either network or to perform or anything like that. So if anybody knows anything, definitely like hit me up.
Yeah.
My social is at Nell from PG. That's NXLL from PG. And that's on everything. So definitely like hit me up if you want to collab or if you just want to say what's up or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, no, thank you. And of course, like, I will also post all your socials in all descriptions in everywhere that this is going to be streamed. Google finally approved of my stuff. Thank you,
nice,
Google.
Nice.
So, yeah, no, your bio will, in every episode description, your links will be leaked. But thank you so much for coming here. It was a wonderful, wonderful pleasure having you
Thanks.
Here.
No, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. Bye.